it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is January 2nd, 2017. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio 1, we are going to start a new year with a lot of prayer, a lot of blessings, and a lot of hope that whatever we left behind us in 2016 will stay behind us, and all what will start is good and wonderful. This is the first show of 2017, and we need to start with some news, as usual. You know, 2017 was started in Turkey in not such a good way. Turkey had an explosion in one of the clubs. Many people were there from all over the world. And there were 15 from foreigners that got killed with others, Turks, that were there. It was a devastating blow to all the world, because we didn't want to see those scenes. And 37 people killed in that event and a lot of wounded. And the struggle and the fear that it comes with make us all believe that we are done with that. Terrorism has to go away and we need to start a new day. So let's listen to what they had to go through.
A Fox sergeant now, as many as 30 people injured in a shooting during New Year's Eve celebrations at a nightclub in Istanbul. That is according to Turkish broadcasters. Local reports saying the two gunmen fired on police before storming a nightclub. Some 500 people were inside the club at the time of this attack. First responder seen outside, as you can see here as we take a live picture. It's about 3:14 a.m. local time in Istanbul, in Turkey's largest city. Police and explosive experts are currently on the scene, searching the club at this moment, we are told. Istanbul has been the target of multiple terror attacks recently, including that deadly attack at Istanbul Airport back in July. We will continue to follow this developing story in Turkey and bring you the latest as we get it.
This is CNN Breaking News.
And we have breaking news into CNN. There has been an incident at a nightclub in Istanbul. Here are the pictures that we are looking at now. This is from our affiliate at CNN, Turk, which is showing us what is taking place there. These are emergency responders who were outside of the club. And now we have seen people being carried out of the club and people beginning to gather and try to figure out just what kind of damage has been done. We see some of those workers waving off people away to get them away from the scene. Clearly, this is a situation that they are still trying to sort out now. We are going to be following this very closely. As soon as we get more information, we're going to bring this to you as we can. Again, an incident at a nightclub in Istanbul, Istanbul, Turkey, and emergency workers, as you see, escorting people away from that nightclub. We're going to bring you more as soon as we learn more details.
You see, we have to go through this sometimes in the world of the war, the globalized war on terror. We don't know where they're going to eat, but we really need to be vigilant. And I have to take it from a different perspective. The fact that they didn't catch the assailant is really a concern. It's a concern to me because people did not jump the guy. Of course, people got killed. But in the mix of everything, they could have, you know, there is much to be done and to learn in defense. It's crazy, of course. It's scary. It's terror. But if this guy went free or those guys went free, we're still under terror. So we need to be courageous and understand that when there is a situation, God forbid, we need to be prepared to do anything possible to to take on that person or those people. Think on that policeman in Nice that jumped the truck. He jumped on the truck and he stopped the car, the big truck, from moving forward. He saved life. There are people who can make a difference if they throw something at them, if they do stuff. You see, once somebody gets into a routine, let's assume an attack routine, you guys have to understand that there is no watching, there is no hiding, there is throwing stuff at them like there is no tomorrow. You have to grab anything in your power, directed to him, of course. You have to make sure. You have to make sure that guy stops as soon as possible. If you let him work his way around, more people will get killed. I know that there are people who can train you. I know there is a group of people that have. I had on my show Itai Gill from The Protector. And he promised that he's going to help you guys learn how to defend yourself in any occasion, at least minimize or maximize your capacities to survive. You need to survive this. And with the news that we have today, I don't know how much, you know, cheerful we can be, but we need to be very smart. You see, you have to understand that in time of challenge, we have to get together, think, and overcome it. We can do it only if we are focused, okay? So let's try to be focused. Now, in the midst of this, we lost George Michael last week, and we lost one of those incredible, incredible actors of Hollywood. Let's listen to Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford recently commented on the loss of his friends and co-star Carrie Fisher. While speaking with Entertainment Weekly, the actor shared, "Carrie was one of a kind, brilliant, original, funny, and emotionally fearless." He went on to say, "She lived her life bravely. My thoughts are with her daughter, her mother, her brother, and her many friends. We will all miss her." In her final memoir, Fisher even alluded to having been romantically involved with Ford, saying, "I looked over at Harrison, a hero's face. How could you ask such a shining specimen of a man to be satisfied with the likes of me?"
Oh, what a sweetheart. She was incredible, and God bless her soul. I really liked her a lot. Now, talking about Hollywood that put her fingers to everything in the last election, Hollywood that decided that they're going to manage and try to destroy Donald Trump even after he got elected, Hollywood needs to stay put and go back to its Hollywood position. And, today the symbolism of Hollywood that got changed on the sign in Hollywood make you understand how much they lost of their level of credibility. You know, get a life, go back to your movies, do what you are the best at, do great movies, but exceptional one to show us the future in a shining way. Until now, you know, the last few years, you really destroy us with those images of cruelty, bloodshed, and destruction. I don't know who the directors are, but I wish they would never do any more film like that. Anyway, let's go on, because with this illusion of the Democrats and all the thing, the paranoia about people leaking, when WikiLeaks is all over the place, leaking all the emails, they decided that the Russians are in to blame. Just remember, everything that you write is always public. It's on public domain. So get a life. Don't think that anything that you have in your life now is not public. It's all out and everybody can see it, okay? So let's listen what happens to the Russian on the New Year's.
And President Obama talking tough with Russia. But today, Donald Trump showed there could be a major shift in policy towards Russia just 3 weeks from now when he takes the oath of office. Correspondent Peter Ducey reports from Florida tonight about what could be a major reset with Russia in the new year.
The current president is punishing Putin, but the next president is praising him, tweeting about the Russian leader's pledge not to retaliate against the U.S. until he sees how the Trump administration treats him, saying, quote, "Great move on delay by V. Putin. I always knew he was very smart." That public message to Putin came just hours after transition officials said the two had no plans to speak privately until the president received an intelligence briefing about Russian interference in the election, a briefing scheduled for next week. As to the question about whether or not the sanctions levied by the Obama administration will be here to stay once Mr. Trump takes over, the incoming White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus says nothing is set in stone.
That's going to be up to him, and he's going to sit down and talk to his leadership and at the Defense Department and State and in the White House and make those decisions, Eric.
The transition team's wait-and-see attitude with Putin is a lot different than the current administration's feeling, but it fits with campaign trail talk from Mr. Trump.
I would treat Vladimir Putin firmly, but there's nothing I can think of that I'd rather do than have Russia friendly.
Prominent Republicans, including Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, Senator Lindsey Graham, and Senator John McCain, are pleased the Russian government is facing some sort of consequence for cyber meddling, even though they think it's long overdue. But that sets up a potential intra-party split, because the head of the party, the soon-to-be sworn-in 45th president, said last night about all the talk of hacking, quote, "It's time for our country to move on to bigger and better things."
I agree with President-elect that we need to get on with our lives without having elections being affected by any outside influence, especially Vladimir Putin, who is a thug and a murderer.
But despite Mr. Trump's past statements about Putin, experts expect him to keep an open mind when he has the authority to set his own Russia policy.
This is going to be a part of a conversation that the president-elect sets with the congressional leadership. I think they will give him the opportunity to establish the priority when it comes to creating a much stronger and constructive bilateral relationship between the U.S. And Russia. And I do think they'll make their case for stronger sanctions.
The incoming counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says it would be very unfortunate if the Obama White House is just punishing Russia to make it harder for the next president to shape his foreign policy, as some reports have suggested, because she says that is not the way peaceful transitions of power are supposed to work. Shannon?
Yeah, we will talk with the panel about that potential theory. In the meantime, Peter, what does the president-elect have planned for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, from Russia today to Rocky tomorrow, Sylvester Stallone is going to be one of the guests at Mar-a-Lago for the big 800-person New Year's Eve bash. So is Quincy Jones, the legendary music producer, and Fabio, who met with the president-elect earlier this afternoon and actually stopped by our live shot location to say hello as well. Said he had a nice meeting.
Did you say Fabio? Maybe it's a hair summit. All right, Peter Ducey, thank you very much.
All right. Sounds like a great bash party. Let's think about what's going on in the world. In the world today, we need to join forces as far as the economy go, because if we try to manage our own businesses from our little planet, it's not going to work. Only if you join forces with others. So on that note, I heard, and I'm reading it, there is, managers that are studying in Disney. It's a cooperation between the University of Central Florida and the Academy of Business in Israel. It's really interesting because they're going to spend 6 days of seminar that are going to teach them how to have... and how to do the entertainment business of Disney, I guess, and Universal. Something really good, because we need more American university join forces with other universities around the globe. Israel, of course, will be happy to join forces and start learning together, because the future is in our hands and we need to think about a new way to to attract more businesses, more enlightenment to our life, and maybe do the right thing. Okay, let's get some music before we have a very, very heavy information. Okay, let's get some music.
If you ever leave me, baby, leave some morphine at my door, 'cause it would take a whole lot of medication to realize what we used to have, we don't have it anymore.
That was Bruno Mars. That was beautiful, as usual. He's an incredible artist. God bless him. Now, you know, there were stories behind the scenes constantly, and, you know, there are so much conspiracy theory going around all the globe constantly. But there are some facts that worry some, and, you know, once it starts elevated to the national media, we have to take a note, be concerned, look at this and check what's truthful in it at all. So we have a story about the Muslims, you know, in America, which probably, you know, they are under a lot of pressure and attack. So there is a version of what's going on. Let's listen to it.
Reported yesterday that people in an Islamist compound are stockpiling guns in preparation for the Trump administration. We're going to show you a map on the screen which lists all of the compounds all across the country. This is the Islamist group. They claim they've got compounds all over the place. Joining us now is the man who brought us the report. His name is Ryan Morrow, National Security Analyst with the Clarion Project. Right, you've got people inside these compounds?
We do. We have a significant number of people who are operating not just inside the compounds, but also among those that are living outside the compounds. It's a group called Muslims of America. They used to be known as Jamaat al-Fukra, but then they carried out a bunch of terrorist attacks and decided to drop the name. It ultimately culminated in one of the camps being shut down in 1992 in Colorado. The rest of the infrastructure remained, including these same villages that you've been talking about.
Now, they're accumulating weapons, assault rifles, explosives.
Yes.
What do they say amongst themselves that they're going to do with these weapons?
It depends on who they're talking to, because sometimes they'll lie to their own members. So in some cases, they'll say this is for self-defense, which is also sometimes how you describe jihad. Sometimes it's more blatantly referred to as jihad. But this arming and this type of training that they've has been going on, and we've got video of some of the training going on at their headquarters called Islamberg in New York State, has been going on since the beginning. What the breaking news is that we heard from multiple sources, and they provided information to substantiate this, is that with the election of Donald Trump, they believe that their end times prophecies that they believe in are now being fulfilled. Donald Trump is part of a satanic Jewish conspiracy, and they are preparing for the camps to be raided and to fight back.
What is the response of law enforcement, who I presume you've made aware of this?
Well, most of them are in shock because most don't know that the group even exists. Everything is about Al-Qaeda and ISIS. It does not appear that in most cases the FBI is sharing information on the local level. And so I educate law enforcement across the country. Most of the time they don't know about this, or they've heard a little bit. And so we've accumulated thousands and thousands of documents to help law enforcement with this. And just about an hour ago, we opened up a new website called FUKRAfiles.com, where people can learn more and look at our declassified documents about the group.
Now, Ryan, you can hold you can have these weapons.
Right.
And if you've got a permit, you can have these weapons. And the FBI or law enforcement cannot go up to the compound and say, we're just checking. Here's a search warrant. Law enforcement cannot do that.
Right.
So what are they going to do?
Well, they've engaged in a lot of criminal activity and, again, a terrorist history. So you can make the argument that there's some level of probable cause here because drug trafficking, massive charter school scams, all sorts of things to raise millions of dollars that then goes back to their leadership in Pakistan. Their leader, Sheikh Jalani, is the man that Daniel Pearl, Wall Street Journal reporter, was going to interview when he was abducted and killed. And so there's a section on our new website going over that incident because I'm not convinced that Sheikh Jalani wasn't involved in that.
Your position is, it sounds like, and I've not read your website, it sounds like you believe that this is a Muslim force in America prepared to attack for whatever reason. Is that what you're saying?
Based on their own material and statements, yes.
It's an enemy army, fully armed, ready to attack. You say that?
And so do the FBI documents that are declassified and posted on our website. And by the way, also a number of people have been arrested because they're felons, not allowed to have guns. And so then they have other members that don't have criminal records buy the guns and then pass them. And there's a pattern of that.
What do you want done about this?
Well, I agree with about a dozen Muslim organizations that we rally together saying that this qualifies as a foreign terrorist organization. They've been looked upon as a domestic group. They're American citizens. But if you are a foreign terrorist organization, that changes things because then it becomes illegal for the group to operate here. And it severs, at the very least, the link between them and the Pakistani terror network.
Quick question. How many people live on, say, the compound in upstate New York, Islamabad, whatever it's called? How many people are living there on the compound?
They've said about 200 to 300, but they move in and out. Altogether, though, the estimates range between 1,500 and 3,000 members, but it doesn't appear that includes the families, and they have a lot of kids and multiple wives.
Ryan Morrow, you better come back soon and tell us what the progress is here, because that's kind of a shocking story. Ryan, thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. The name of that website again?
FUKRAfiles.com.
How do you spell it?
FUKRA.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll see you again.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. The story is like this, been traveling around for quite some times. But due to the emergency of the situation right now, these days, I know that there are many people who are planning to have incredible marches the day after the nomination, not the nomination, the inauguration. The day after the inauguration, we have, they call it the Million Women March on January 21st for the women against Trump. Now, for some reason, if, you know, I'm completely not clear about the fact to... about the fact that you're allowing this marches to happen. It's a free country, but if you think something against the elected president is going to happen in such a way, don't you think that you might risk a national security emergency? Is there is any way to explain it to you that you don't want to have all-out explosion? They said women, so to say that... it's not going to be men. But as we know, men can join women in their marches. It's not against men. So it's not something that only women will be there. It's a women march, but it's not without men. So be aware what you're allowing. And think about it. When you have such a high alert everywhere in the world, throwing up in the mix also this, and you know what? You know what? It's really interesting because I'm coming from a different view of a liberal agenda that says, you know, you can do whatever you do, but as long as you don't obstruct or actually endanger my freedom. So right now, once you have a rally like this, it's endangering the well-being of the other because you don't know what can come around. Now, if you think about Al-Aqsa Mosque that is on Temple Mount, only side of the Jewish people, people tell us all the time, you don't go there because you might incite something. Well, they are inciting something and you guys don't do nothing about it to stop it. So be aware. Now, I was just clicking the word furka, like he said, misspelling it, obviously. But I came across to somebody that was talking about this compound from 2015. And they're talking about information that was given to the deputy governor of some of those area. And, you know, and they pass it along to the FBI and nothing was done about it. They said, why can't the FBI touch them? Because the State Department does not declare MOA, Jamaa al-Furqa, as a national foreign terrorist organization. In other words, FBI cannot act because the President, the Director of Homeland Security, won't classify MOA with known ties for a decade with Jamaa al-Furqa. So, you see, it's technicality that can be changed, but I'm just saying, if it's sitting underneath, you be aware. You see, you don't like to have this kind of situation arise, especially when the Democrats are so mad and so childish, as Doug Newsom said. All right, let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. At the bottom of your glass, hoping one day you'll make a dream last. But dreams come slow and they go so fast. You see it when you close your eyes. Maybe one day you'll understand why everything you touch surely dies. But you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. Staring at the ceiling in the dark. Same old empty feeling in your heart. Cause love comes slow and it goes so fast. Well, you see her when you fall asleep. But never to touch and never to keep. Cause you loved her too much and you dive too deep. Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. Burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you feel.
All right, we are back with Orly Benny Davis and The Impossible Truth. You know, it's second of the year and we already had so much attic from whatever can go wrong and whatever they fight and think about the whole mix of last week. You know, you have holiday season and the United Nations is acting up. Then you have a week after, you get John Kerry talking about, you know, Road for Peace. Like, where you been all those years? You know, it's ended. Then we have the kicking out of the Russian ambassadors in America. What's going on? Now we have some news saying that on January 15, we might have a conference in Paris about the peace in the Middle East. Of course, Israel is not there. They are going to talk about the peace in the Middle East. They are going to talk about the peace in the Middle East when terror is everywhere, and the terrorism is incited by the same brotherhood that those Palestinian represents. So I want French and the European Union. Oh, we're missing European Union because they could come and, you know, add to this aggravation. I want the European Union to come to understanding that Paris is in no position to talk about peace. Right now, you have so much on your hands, and you have an election, right? So what do you want to conclude? That that Israel is bad again? That's, you know, that's the routine. Nothing changed. What are you going to invent this time? And, you know, we have a very great lady, Brigitte Gabriel, that she speaks about the Muslim people from a different perspective because she knows them. She was one of them. And she grew out of that. It means that her belief became Christian, and she tried to explain what they are thinking and how they really distorted their life. Let's listen to her.
Israel is the only truly democratic secular country in the Middle East, right in the middle of all of them. In line with the medieval thinking, Arab rulers know how to control their populations. Keep them ignorant. That's how you rule people. Keep them ignorant and control the content and flow of information into society. You brainwash them into believing whatever you want them to believe, using the government-controlled newspapers, radio, and television. Then let human nature, pumped with hatred, anger, rage, pain and suffering, and spiced with Islamic holy deception, take its course. Another method these one-man or religion-based regimes use to stay in power is to create a sideshow to distract the population from problems at home. That's why the Arab world has done nothing to help the Palestinian refugees they created when they attacked Israel in 1948. It's called the Palestinian refugee problem. This is one of the best tricks that the Arabs have played on the world, and they have used it to their great advantage when fighting Israel in the form of public opinion. The lie was pulled off masterfully, and everyone has been falling for it ever since. First, you tell people to leave their homes and villages because you are going to come in and kick out the Jews the day after the UN grants Israel its nationhood. You fail in your military objective, the Jews are still alive and have more land now than before, and you have thousands of upset, displaced refugees living in your country because they believed in you. So you and the UN build refugee camps that are designed to last only 5 years and crowd the people in instead of integrating them into your society and giving them citizenship. After a few years of overcrowding and deteriorating living conditions, you get the media to visit and publish a lot of pictures of these poor people living in the hopeless, wretched squalor you have left them in. In 1967, you get all your cronies together with their guns and tanks and planes and start beating the war drums. Again, the same old story. You are really going to kill all the Jews this time or drive them into the sea. And everyone will be able to go back home, take over what the Jews have developed, and live in a Jew-free Middle East. Again, you fail, and now there are even more refugees living in your countries, and Israel is even larger, with Jerusalem as its capital. Time for more pictures of more camps and suffering children. What is to be done about those poor refugees that not even the Arabs want? Then start Middle Eastern students' organizations on U.S. college campuses and find some young, idealistic American college kids who have no idea of what has been described here so far, and have them take up the cause. Now enter some power-hungry type like Yasser Arafat, who begins to blackmail you and your Arab friends who created the mess for guns and bombs and money to fight the Israelis. Then Arafat creates hell for the world, starting in the 1970s, with his terrorism, and the Palestinian refugee problem becomes a worldwide issue and galvanizes all your citizens and the world against Israel. Along comes the suicide bombers. So to keep the pot boiling, you finance the show by paying every bomber's family $25,000. This encourages more crazies to go blow themselves up, killing civilians and children riding buses to school. Saudi Arabia held telethons to raise thousands of dollars to the families of suicide bombers. What a perfect way to turn years of military failure into a public opinion campaign success. The perpetuation of lies and uncritical thinking, combined with repetitious anti-Jewish and anti-American diatribes, has produced a generation of Arab youth incapable of thinking in a civilized manner. This government-nurtured rage towards the West and the infidels continues today, perpetuating their economic failure and deflecting frustration away from the dictators and regimes that oppress them. This refusal by Arab regimes to take an honest look at themselves has created a culture of scapegoating that blames Western civilization for misery and failure in every aspect of Arab life. So far, it seems that Arab leaders don't mind their people lagging behind, save for King Abdullah's recent evidence of concern. The depth of his sincerity remains to be seen. Arab countries, tribes with flags. To get a better understanding of the societies that introduced mass killing by suicide bombers, we must understand how the culture operates. Arab countries are tribes with flags. As Arab tribes in the Middle East were divided by the British and the French and given land that both these powers controlled, new countries emerged that are now considered a part of the international community. However, these tribes kept to themselves because of their religion, culture, and way of life. The lack of transition, education, and business development in these countries ensures that most people stay trapped within their societies and cultures, ruled by centuries-old tribal customs, traditions, and ways of thinking that are still revered and followed as they were hundreds of years ago.
We are back. Let's go back and talk about what Brigitte Gabriel was trying to insinuate. Of course, me being a person that loves education and understand what ignorance can do to mankind, I think that instead of trying to give those poor soul some help with weapons, we need to give them some books and teach them something. You see, the world cannot go on like that. And it cannot go like that because we didn't take care of it. To think that we did take care of our own and neglect the others, it won't do. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
What would I do without your smart mouth drawing me in and you kicking me out? You got my head spinning, no kidding, I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride and I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind, 'cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down. I'm around through every morning. You're my downfall, you're my muse, my worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. All your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh.
All right, that was so beautiful. Okay, you know, when you pray for salvation or redemption, or you pray for a good time and God's help, you have to understand that sometimes when you broke all rules, God is not there so much. Many people ask why God is not acting, why it's not helping. There is a moment where you have to understand that you can do whatever you want, but God has the right to respond to you or not, of course. You have a freedom to obey, to be righteous, or to go bad. Because I was like thinking about praying for those Arab souls, and I'm saying to myself, you know, they made so much suffering. They've been killing each other, brothers, sisters, for honor, for money, for cruelty, for land, that they don't even produce in it. Let's think about all those Arab nations. They're deserted. If you take a land and you don't do nothing, and you just drill oil and sell it to the world and then lavishly cover your sink with gold, you think this is the purpose of mankind? For real. Look at the people who go to the moon that risk their life for humanity. Look about NASA that works day and night to send something to discover other planets. Look at those doctors that spend their time day and night with a mission to save lives. And you guys all give them more work because you want to destroy world. So if you are on the side of destruction, I ain't praying for you. You have to get the grip with your reality. And I know that there are many people who don't see the light and don't see the sun. They don't care. They decide to be bad. You know, I can hear some people do say that. They don't like, they don't want God to be among them. For some reason, they have this entity that got on them that created this disbelief in God. Somebody's, you know, sending me a text, a sick lady. She's very sick, and she's somewhere in over the ocean in a very cold place. And she asked me to come visit her, and I said, oh, God, I need to go to that chilly place. I don't know if I can handle that. But I said, you know what, if God's, you know, I need to. Then a call says she got sicker, so I couldn't go visit her. And for me, it was a test for her. I don't know what, but I tried to convince her that whatever I'll do it because of God. And she said to me, oh, you're so lucky to believe in God. How can't you not believe in God? For real. How a person walk up in the morning, see the sunshine, and, you know, in the end of the day, the moon rises. Everybody goes according to incredible rhythm, magical, incredible skies, the oceans and the rivers and the land flourishing, the flower getting. Who do you think you are? You know, you're just human using, consuming this world. You need to contribute by preserving this creation. And what happens? You have such amazing brain, but in some of them, they decide, you know, to eliminate God from the equation. It's much nicer. Or to go to become, in the beginning, you know, to go all a religion, to try it all. They don't understand that sometimes whoever you are, is that what God's plan? Now, that's how you are. Okay? Now, guys, we need to have a beautiful world. We have a beautiful person who got elected to be the next president of the U.S. President Obama did what nobody else in the world did, liberate the Arabs from their dictatorship, and we have to give it to him because he talked to their heart and he gave them the heart to rebel. But in that format, they need to stop to rebuild it. Now they have to give them the tools to rebuild democracy, to rebuild society as it's normal. And you have Egypt. Egypt is a very successful country. I saw some new pictures from Egyptian tour guide that show how beautiful Cairo is getting to be and how beautiful Egypt is treating her tourists now. Why don't we understand that you have, you know, a leader in the Arab world that can help you overcome and teach you how to do better in the world and stop agonizing your own people. As far as the Palestinian goes, I'm telling you, if it's not the biggest excuse to kick Jewish people from their own ancestral land, I don't know what it is. Because today, the Guardian, for example, is something incredible. They have the audacity to comment on Kerry's speech. The Guardian, they were saying, oh, you know, in that proposal, the Israeli are winning. What proposal? You know, Kerry did not give a proposal. Actually, it was ludicrous even to assume that he was doing that. And you guys in The Guardian, you get your, you know, your beautiful self back to the archives and start learning the material because you don't have nothing to say about it that can make sense. Okay, you Guardians, you can call me anytime. I'll talk to you. Not a problem. Ain't intimidated. Just it's time for have real news, real journalists, and real people who knows what they're talking about. As leader of the free world, we have Donald Trump that gets the best in the world to make it happen. And we want to see the world getting better. And all those Arab world, that, you know, you pray for yourself because you have to really redeem yourself. But we need to start putting in motion a new age of science. Think about it. If we work it right, we're going to have automatic cars, maybe the flying cars. Maybe we'll have, no pilots airplanes. That's what we're talking about. That's because they don't give enough money to fund, school for pilots. That's something I've been complaining about. But you see, we have so much work to do. All robots cannot replace humankind, and especially with love. So sending you all my love, blessing you with all my heart, giving you all the encouragement you need to have a beautiful, wonderful new day and start this new year with a blast. Have it great. Have it awesome. Make it incredible. It's 2017, guys, and we are living it. God bless you all and all of you out there. Talk to you next week. God willing. Ciao, ciao.